Welcome to Grit, Grace, and Glitz. I'm your host, Erica Rothenberger, and I'm so excited for you to join me and my amazing guests every week as you learn how to get gritty, how to give yourself the grace that you deserve, and to celebrate all the glitz that comes to you along the way. Are you ready to unlock your potential? Let's do this. Well, hello, hello, everyone. I want to welcome you to Grit, Grace, and Glitz. I am so excited to have you here today. Remember, this is the place where you're allowed to get gritty and go after your dreams and your goals. This is the place where you're allowed to remind yourself to give yourself the grace that you know and deserve in life, but most importantly, to celebrate the glitz, the good things that we have going on each and every day that get us one step closer to a goal, an accomplishment, or just maybe touching someone's life. And today, we are so honored and so lucky to have Peg Ione with us today. She is a life and wellness coach as well as an educator. And she is someone that I met and I just was like, you need to be on this podcast. She had this glimmer and about her and I knew her voice needed to be heard because she also works with women who are navigating through tradition, some transitions in times, whether they're in their 40s or 50s or wherever they are in life and they're going through some ups and downs. She's there to support them. She has a master's degree in education from Fordham University, and she's trained at Duke Integrative Medicine as a health and wellness coach. She integrates not only her knowledge, but the cognitive science behind it with her love of mental and physical health to make sure her clients sustain changes in all parts of their lives. Not only does she do all of that, but she's also a mom of three teenagers. Yes, one, two, three. So she approaches coaching with compassion and plenty of humor. Truly, humor is the only way to get through, I believe, any part of parenthood. But she is passionate in helping women find and cultivate their own inner wisdom and living the best life they possibly can. So Peg, we are so excited to have you here today. How are you?
I am so great. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me on this podcast, Erica.
Well, we are the lucky ones because you guys, she is about to drop some magic onto your plate today and just really inspire you to that next level here on Grit, Grace, and Glitz. So with that being said, Peg, there's so many different levels and definitions of success, right? What is something, when you hear the word success, what does that mean to you? What does it mean to maybe a client that you're helping go through a difficult time? And how do you know when you've personally been successful at something? I know that's a loaded question. I just gave you like an A, B, C, yeah. D answer. So go after it however you want.
I've given this question a lot of thought because, you know, it comes up a lot. You know, we live in a very fast-paced, success-driven culture. So, you know, and I work with, you know, really smart women. So this is something that comes up a lot. So I think that I like to think of it as having successes in certain areas and not, I don't like to think of it as being successful because I think success is not who you are or aren't. I think that success is something that you can have in lots of little different places and little different nuggets in your life. You know, like success and most people, I think, really try to define success by other people's definitions of success. So what I really try to do myself and what I really try to help women do is to really think about, you know, what success looks like for them in any given day, at any given time, in any given goal, with any given thing that they're trying to do. For example, like my success in this workout today is going to be what? My success in, you know, on writing this email is going to be what, and letting yourself kind of define that, and also you know, finding the golden nuggets in there that are successful. I think that we get really tripped up when we try to equate our, you know, quote unquote success with our worthiness, because, you know, they're just not the same, right? Our worthiness is, you know, 100% inherent, you know, no matter how much success we have or don't have. And I think when we get tripped up and think that our worthiness hinges on our success, you know, we can really get into some trouble there.
Also, I want to stop you right there for 1 minute, Pat, because I love what you said, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not about one, comparing yourself to someone else, right? And your success. That's so much easier said than done. So maybe you could talk a little bit about, like, as you're coaching your clients, it's, we all say that, hey, I'm not going to compare myself to her. I'm going to stay in my own swim lane. But it's easy to say, harder to do. So that was one of my questions. And the other thing that, you know, what I heard you say loud and clear, and I just want to remind everyone, and if you didn't hear it, is making sure that success comes in different shapes and forms, right? And it can be a success on a workout today, right? Maybe your success, it doesn't equate to your success as a human being, right? It's just like we talk about the glitz part of grit, grace, and glitz. It's the little things that you're doing every day to move you forward. Right. And, you know, and making sure we're trying to keep that channeled, because I think sometimes we only can see this massive quantum leaps as success, when it's really what I've seen in my own life. And I know what you've seen in your life, and probably what you instill in your kids, is it's the little things we do every day, right? I have a five-year-old and an eight-year-old. And I remind them, especially my eight-year-old who's in third grade, it's what you're doing every day. You don't have to go upstairs and read a book. If you're reading 10 or 15 minutes a day, what that can do.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's also important to remember that, you know, success is a moving target also. So for example, you know, if I have a client who's working to make, you know, $100,000 in her business, and in her mind, like, when she hits that target, that's success, right? And then she gets there, right? And then what automatically happens? The goalpost moves, right? Now success is 200,000 or 500,000 or making $1 million, right? So I think that that's why we just have to always be checking in, you know, with ourselves and really thinking about, you know, like, how are we defining that? Because again, like, that point, you know, moves all around. And if we're always trying to, like, get to a certain point, and then we get there, and then we're like, okay, well, why am I not feeling amazing? I just did this thing. I just got to this point. I just reached this, you know, goal that I set for myself. Why am I sort of, like, just looking for the next thing already? Right. And I think that's easier said
than done.
Yeah.
We've all been there, right? We're like, oh, once we do this, we're going to feel okay. Yeah. It's like, and I always say it, compare it to, like, a female with a handbag, right? Like, we can have this small little thing and fit everything we need in it. But if someone gives us a duffel size handbag, we're going to fill it with stuff.
Right.
So as you're coaching, is there any techniques, any suggestions you would give anyone who may be facing that challenge, being like, I accomplish a goal and I never feel like it's enough, or going back to the question of, hey, listen, well, I accomplished this goal, but she accomplished that goal and I want to be there, kind of how you get those blinders on?
Well, I mean, I think that the awareness of that, right? Like, realizing that, well, first of all, the whole compare and despair is just, I mean, we could talk about that for, like, a whole, you know, 2-hour podcast in and of itself, right? Because, you know, that is very much like thinking, right? You have thoughts about your situation, you know exactly what it is and what's going on. And then we have thoughts about other people and their situations, which are just our thoughts about them, right? We don't really know anything about necessarily their situation or what exactly is going on with them. So I always coach, you know, my clients to really get in touch with, you know, their own thoughts, their own ideas about, you know, success, their own ideas about worthiness. I think a lot of this really sort of circles back to that, to, you know, feelings of being enough and feeling worthy and being, and honestly, like a lot of our work really starts there, because I think that we get on that hamster wheel and we start looking around and comparing ourselves to everybody around us because we really question that worthiness at our very core. So that's a lot of, that's a long answer to
your question. No, and I get where you're going and making sure you're addressing those issues. And it sounds like you're able to do that with a lot of your clients and really help people, you know, kind of do a little bit of soul searching that way and kind of some of the heavy lifting, some of the hard work,
right,
that can get you there. Right. So let's transition a little then too, because you work with a lot of clients like that are going through a tumultuous time, right? They're going through some wall kicking moments. Yes. You know, I'm sure you have your own wall kicking moments. I'm sure they do. Any tips, tricks for people who, you know, are really suffering with some areas, maybe they're in a low point of their life, right? Maybe they're not feeling the glitz right now. Maybe they don't have the grit right now to get that stamina through it. How to overcome, whether it's a difficult day, a difficult season, a difficult, you know, time in life, when those wall kicking moments come up and it's hard to scrape yourself off the bathroom floor, what we'll say, with the mascara, you know, merging down your face. And we've all been there.
Of course. Yeah, no, absolutely. So this makes me think of a couple of different things. The first thing that really comes to mind, is, you know, when we're in that place, you know, like you said, the wall kicking moment, or, you know, just feeling, stuck, you know, the first thing to recognize is that, you know, our brains, like, they automatically want out, right? That we want out. We want out of this. How can I get at myself out of this situation as quickly as possible?
And isn't that just human nature, right? Like, we want, it's the survival mode, right? Like, just keep 100%. Me safe. Just protect
right.
me.
Right. So I think the first thing that we have to ignore, I think that the first thing I try to do for myself and everything that I, you know, teach my clients, I also do for myself, is to, number one, recognize that this is not a problem. It's not a problem to be in a funk. It's not a problem to have a bad day. It's not a problem to be stuck, because we're human and that's the way it's going to go, right? Like, life is, my coach taught me, you know, life is 50-50, half good, half bad, right? We want to live in the 50 good, right? But we also live in the 50 not so good. And, you know, we make it a bigger problem than it is sometimes. So sometimes I think, you know, you talk about grace. Sometimes I think if we can really just practice giving ourselves grace when we're in those moments, when we're having those days, and just acknowledging it. Like, I'm a human. I'm going to have good days and bad. And today it's not that great. And that's,
and okay. I think that's sometimes the hardest time to do it, because you're watching other people who are, you're like, well, they're having a great day. Everything seems so put together for her and him. And like, why do her nails look so good? And why does she look so damn happy? And it's hard when you're in that moment to give yourself that grace, but to recognize that just because Mary looks like her life's perfectly put together today, she's had those days too.
And exactly.
We forget that, especially with social media right now.
Well, I was just going to say, when you're having a day like that, turn off your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the day to not be, you know, scrolling and looking at other people's beautiful manicures. It's like, give yourself a break. But, you know, and the other thing that I would say is,
as I hold up my hands that never get painted, right?
The other,
I know the viewers and the listeners can't see our hands, but, and I always say that, like, you got to pick and choose what's important.
Is it good? Yeah. I could, I'm like, oh,
Peg's nails look way better than mine, ladies and gentlemen.
So, you know, the other question that you can ask yourself too is, you know, what is this experience, you know, or this time or this space where I'm not feeling on my best, my 100%, you know, what is it trying? What can I learn from that? What is this experience trying to show me? You know, just really just trying to like shift things around and look at it from the other side, right?
Because I always find in those moments, it's really good for me to take pen to paper and just write. What are those emotions? What am I feeling? And then end with some gratitude, right? Remembering all the things that you're grateful for and being like, okay. And right. Sometimes it's very therapeutic for me to just literally let the pen glide and me to verbally vomit on the blank piece of paper. And by the end, I'm writing the things that I'm thankful for. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And then I'll go back and reread it. Like sometimes a couple of days later and I'm like, I start laughing at myself because I'm like, was I really in that state?
Yeah. Well, I always suggest clients, like I say, you know, set the timer, get a blank piece of paper and do a brain dump, right? And get out everything that's clamoring in your head. Like it's sort of like going up into like a dusty old attic and be like, and then you start writing things down. And you're like, oh, I didn't know that was in there. Like, no wonder I'm feeling so terrible, right? Because our thoughts, you know, create how we feel. So, you know, when we're having like those funky days or weeks or whatever, like it's really helpful to know what's going on in there, what we're thinking and seeing it on paper. And sometimes that's enough to just be able to, you know, shift it and give us a new perspective. Sometimes it, you know, takes a little longer, but.
So it kind of goes hand in hand with maybe having some limiting beliefs in yourself.
Absolutely.
And they all exist, right? And like I said, the limiting beliefs may start out really small, like, oh, I don't think I can walk a half a mile, right? To, I don't think I can run the marathon, right? They just become bigger, right? Limiting beliefs as we accomplish them. But we really need to dissect them or really put them into smaller pieces. But any other suggestions where people really are, you know, struggling with those limiting beliefs and maybe an area that you've had limiting beliefs and how you overcame it personally?
Well, something I always like to ask myself, and I, you know, I teach clients to ask themselves too, when, you know, we're thinking something that we know is like, or we have a situation that we're really struggling with, you know, whether it's, I don't know, let's say like an interaction with somebody or, you know, like something didn't go as planned or I don't know, whatever it is, you know, to always ask, what am I making this mean? What am I making it mean? Because when you really dissect, you know, what am I making this mean? Right. When you really look at that, we can find a lot of, you know, just probably a lot of underlying fears there that are, you know, I mean, the fear is what sets the limiting beliefs, you know, sets them into motion, gives them all the fuel that they need to, you know, create the chatter that goes on, you know, all day long, right? It's all thoughts, right? It's all thoughts that our brain is coming up with. All of our feelings come from what we're thinking, right? We don't just have feelings just sort of like burst out of us, like spontaneously. Everything comes from a thought in our brain, right? So really being able to, parse those out and look at it and, you know, decide, you know, do I really want to be thinking this? Is this thought serving me? That is something that I ask myself probably 10 times a day.
Yeah. You know, I love that. So guys, did you all hear that? Like, if you didn't hear that loud and clear, like, is this serving me? Does this bring me joy? Is this bringing me closer to my goals? Like being willing to do kind of a self-check.
Yeah.
Because we can do it really well to other people, but sometimes not so well to ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a practice, right? It's something that, you know, if you're not in the habit or in the practice or, you know, of using some of these tools, like writing down a thought dump and parsing out some of your thoughts and poking holes in them or asking yourself, like, does this thought serve me? Right. Then you can sort of just spin out like unintentionally, like reacting to the way you're thinking and feeling without, you know, having some authority over it. So that's sort of what that does. It just gives us authority over those limiting beliefs that are trying to, you know, take the wheel when we're trying to steer ourselves somewhere.
It's like, no, I want to go right. And you're like, no, left. And then it's like, the wheels start shaking. You don't know which way to go, right?
Exactly.
But with that, with all the work that you do with your clients and the work you do with yourself every day, because I'm sure you put it into practice, you know, sometimes comes some confrontation and sometimes comes some icky areas where you got to kind of, you know, approach it head on. And confrontation's never easy, but it's inevitable. And how do you deal with like confrontation with still being graceful, right? And how do you teach your clients how to deal with confrontation when it arises, because it's going to. And I think people, you know, sometimes it's either fight or flight, which to me, neither of those work, right?
Right.
So yeah. How do you suggest most people deal with that?
So I'm glad you brought this up, because something that I just created for my clients, and I was going to tell your listeners that I put it on my website too. It's called, it's just a workbook for dealing with difficult people, because, you know, it's something that if you were alive and you have a pulse, you are going to have to deal with difficult people, right? And by difficult people, I just mean people that make us have a lot of thoughts, right? So somebody that I quote think is difficult may not be somebody that you think is difficult. Could be somebody else could think that, you know, they're not difficult at all, right? So when we perceive somebody as difficult, right, when we have to like deal with, you hear a lot about like toxic people, right? You know, I always first just try to remind people that what is usually so difficult about the interaction with another person is what we're making what that person's saying mean about us, right? And I like to use the example of like, you know, if I'm having a discussion with like my boss or maybe even my spouse, and he makes like some comment to me and then I get mad, right? Think about the difference between that interaction and if I'm talking to like a five-year-old, right? Like, and they say something like, oh, you know, you have purple hair, or I don't like your outfit. I would just be like, ah, you know, funny. That's so cute, right? And I would never make those words mean something about me, right? So I'm not going to get mad, right? So it's just having that awareness oftentimes is so, it's so light bulb moment-y for so many people, right?
Because well, Peg, I must admit, the other day, my daughter told me I had a jiggly butt and she's five. And I'm not going to lie, what I wanted to really say to her, I refrained, but I felt like saying, yeah, I carried 2 9-pound babies. And let me jiggle, you know, and with some curse words in between, but we won't go there. But let's be real.
Your husband didn't say it, right?
If he had said, right, that would have been a whole different scenario. Right. Where he knows better.
Exactly, right? So you don't like, I mean, do you kind of see my point there though?
No, totally. And I'm just bringing up the tongue in cheek because I think we all face that. You're so right. Like if my husband had said, well, your butt looks really jiggly in those jeans versus my daughter being like, mom, you got a jiggly butt. Like, and she just says it so matter of fact with her cute little voice. And I'm like,
we get mad. We get upset when we can find like some truth in what they're saying. Right. Somebody came up to me and was just like, you have purple hair. I would be like, what? No, I don't. Right. But if they were like, I don't like your haircut and I just got my haircut, I'd be like, what do you mean? You know? So it's just like
in that context.
Yeah. It's really just kind of number one, just really understanding what the interaction with this other person, like what you're making their words mean about or whatever about you, because that is the thing that's going to drive the emotion. Right. And so that would bring me to my second point, which is whenever I'm having a quote difficult conversation with somebody, I always want to check in to what is the feeling that I'm having that's driving this conversation, right? Because if I'm feeling anger or fear, like maybe I don't want to have that conversation at that moment, right? Maybe I want to get myself to a place where I can be much more neutral before engaging, you know, in a conversation. Because if you're coming from a place of emotion that's, for lack of a better word, negative, right? Then you're going to, then most likely whatever the confrontation is going to result in something negative. So that's something that I always check with myself. And I really try to teach my kids this. They're always like, Mom, don't try to coach us. Don't teach us anything. But, you know, I mean, that's okay. But that I think is a really, really, that's a big piece of self-awareness. And I think a really big, important part of just learning how to deal with other people in a way that allows you to show up the way that you really want to, and not kind of go down some rabbit hole of like, oh my gosh, I wish I hadn't reacted that way.
Right. Right. And we've all been there, right? And we all have regrets, right? But it's like just 100%. Learning from that and constantly trying to check yourself. So with that being said, you know, you speak of your kids, she has 3 kids, high school, 2 in college. I mean, she is a busy, busy mom. If you were to go back now that you're giving your quote unquote 18-year-old self or your 18-year-old kids now, and any piece of advice, what would you give them and why?
Oh gosh, I try to give my kids so much advice that they don't want to hear, which just, you know, it's very, very humbling. So I guess
they'll appreciate it one day.
They will appreciate it one day. They will appreciate it one day. I think that, let's see. I think that I think our kids worry too much about making mistakes. I think that mistakes are really, really important. You know, and one of the things that, you know, you said, we were talking a lot about fear. And I think that, so many of all, we're all so afraid of, you know, not doing it right. So I think that embracing mistakes, you know, and just realizing that, you know, the woman that, this is just a little sidebar, but this is a good story. The woman, I forget her name, you probably know, but who invented Spanx. She told a story one time that I heard her give a talk, and she told this story one time about how every night they would sit around the table for dinner, and her dad would say, okay, who failed today? And, you know, people, you know, the kids would kind of say, well, I tried this and I failed and I tried. And if, you know, and then the message was, well, if you didn't fail, then you didn't like try anything. You didn't try hard enough. You didn't try anything new. You didn't push yourself.
Love that. And I totally, totally have heard that before. And it's so true.
I think it's so good and so true.
And, you know, sometimes I'll switch it up with my kids and I'll say, what's one thing you really want at today? Right. Like talking about like, hey, listen, there's the triumphs too. It's okay to talk about those things,
right?
Because you know what I mean? Like, and I'll try to weave both of those conversations, and it's really funny what comes out of their mouth. Right. Yeah. And then I love it. I don't know if your kids ever do this, but my kids are at the age right now that they'll like reverse it. They're like, well, what's something you failed at today? And I'm like, oh, well, and I'm like, do I tell them this, that I really failed at that? But it's good to like really like bring out, you know, that candidness with each other.
Yes. I agree. And then also I think I would tell them, you know, where you are right now is perfect, because I think that young people today are so worried that they don't have enough, and you know, or where they are right now, like they're always, there's just so much pressure on them, I think, to, you know, be the next thing. And I think it's like, it's really important to be where you are right now. And what you have to work with right now, you know, is enough. And also just don't take yourself so seriously, and, you know, remember to have a sense of humor, because it really is the most important thing.
Amen. I mean, I always say that like humor can help absolutely any bad scenario.
Yeah, laugh at ourselves, then, you know, where would we be?
If we're not laughing at ourselves, or we're crying. So like to me, just sarcasm and sense of humor to me is one of the best remedies for any tough situation. You know, I could go on and on, Peg. You have just dribbled and just poured so many amazing nuggets and good information. And I love the things that you said, right? Like, what did you fail at today? Not being afraid to ask those questions, not being afraid to say, listen, the way that you filter the information in and be able to take the emotion out of it sometimes, again, easier said than done, right? And, you know, how you actually look at your successes, right? It doesn't have to be, like we said, these quantum huge leaps. It can be these little things that we're doing to get us one step closer. And I love the way that you looked at it. Like, today I'm going to worry about a success at the gym, and tomorrow might be a success with my business, and next day may be a success with my marriage. And not to try to say, hey, I have to be successful at absolutely everything today. And I think we put that on ourselves. And I think you articulated that so beautifully amongst all the other golden nuggets that you gave us today. But guys, Peg is just a plethora of great information, right? Just, I'm hoping that whatever you heard today, you gathered those two or three things that you feel that now you can go apply, that you can go and be a little bit more gritty, that you can go and give yourself that grace, that you can go and celebrate the glitz and the good things that you're doing every day. And reach out to Peg. We'll put all her information in the show notes, that workbook that she was talking about. You know, there's just so many good things that we can reach out, how we can next level our lives, and how we can really inspire other people to do the same. So, Peg, I just want to thank you so much for showing up today, for being gritty, for giving us the grace, especially since I delayed her, like, no, 15 minutes, no, I need 15 more minutes, no, I need this, because I was school call, trying to get from work, this, that, and the other. And reminding each other that we have to give ourselves the grace, right? The sun was not going to fall today. Like, we were still going to make this happen. And I just want to thank Peg for reminding me of that, because I'm feeling so guilty. And she's like, we'll work it out. Like, I'm like, but celebrating the glitz and all the good things that we show up and do every day, like you showing up and just being absolutely like amazing on this podcast today. So any other words that you want to leave us with today before we sign off?
I'm so thrilled to be here. It's just amazing to, you know, be on a platform talking about women, lifting each other up, helping each other. I'm just so appreciative. I really think it's so great. So
absolutely. And like I said, you guys can reach out to Peg. You can follow her. She, I know she's on a lot of different platforms. We'll make sure that all goes in the show notes. And we can't wait to hear your stories. We can't wait for you to recommend this podcast to someone else, to put a note in there, to share it with other people who just need to be up-leveled right now in their life, because this podcast is all about going from good to great, or great to phenomenal, from phenomenal to, you know, utterly fabulous, whatever that is for you in your life, in your season right now. So here we are signing off from Grit, Grace, and Glitz. Thanks for joining us today. And Peg, thank you so much for all of your goodness that you just poured into us. Have a great day, guys. I hope you learned a lot from today's episode, and I cannot wait for you to catch our next episode. I'll see you back here next time on an all new episode of Grit, Grace, and Glitz.